I have the pleasure of introducing our speaker today, and we've all see her around here every Sunday and then some if you're down here during the week. But Sheila Myers is going to be speaking for us today, so let's encourage her. Thank you.
Well, as you know, I am not Darren. I don't look like Darren. I hope I don't look like Darren. That'd be kind of scary for me. Now, and to Darren, if he's listening, that nothing, no offense. Obviously, I'm not Darren. They are off at a pastor's conference, him and Stacy, and they've combined that a little bit with a vacation. It's not very often that actually the pastor's conference is in Hawaii, and I know they didn't tell anyone because it's one of those things. It's kind of like, you know, if your work ever sends you to, like, send you to Chicago, they send you to here, there, and people are kind of like, yeah, okay. But if work sends you to Hawaii, it's like, oh. So I know they were trying to keep it very low-key, but I was thrilled when I found out they got to pastor's conference in Hawaii, and then you can extend it and even bring kids, something that the majority of the time, you know, you can't go to Hawaii with kids and stuff. It's just very expensive, and I know Stacy was telling me all these little things. Oh, I was able to get a timeshare through my sister-in-law and this and that, so they were able to save money and just do this, you know, for her the most frugal way possible, but still to be able to enjoy it. And I'm just so thankful that they're able to do it and they're able to go, and that this is just a good time for them to be able to relax and just be recharged, you know, because we all definitely need that. So, and apparently no one got my little card that I sent out. Church was canceled. No, you don't have to show up. So that way it could be like I practiced it with nobody here. But I just have to always remember, it's like I told Darren too, I said, it's not really speaking, it's more sharing. You know, God tells us things, imparts things into us, and it's really our job, you know, to take that information and share it with others. And so as I've been praying about this, just, you know, what is it that you want to say, Lord? What is it? And, you know, God, especially downstairs, because as most of you know, I am the director of children's ministries, and I work downstairs with the kiddos, and it's just kind of a director of children's ministries. It's just like the fancy word that means I get to be downstairs with kids, make crafts, play games, and, you know, people think that it's an actual job. I mean, it is, but it's not, really. I mean, I get so, so filled up. Every Sunday when I leave, I am filled up for the entire week. We have just amazing kids down there, and I will have a plan. That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I have a plan, like a lesson, and we say, this is what we're going to do. And then one of our kiddos will ask a question, and, you know, you can choose to, this is our plan. Or you can just allow for the Holy Spirit to just to go a different direction with it. And I always tell our teachers, listen to the Lord. Go the different direction. If you think we're going to go here, but the Lord says go there, we go there. Because truly, He is the teacher. And even in the classrooms with the kiddos, we really are learning all at the same time. And I'm always learning from them. I always say with my own kids too, they always teach me far more than I will ever teach them. And it's just beautiful, you know, when we listen to the Holy Spirit and we go in that direction. And so I'm thankful because for my message, I was going to go this way. And then, yep, last week, the Lord was just like, yeah, we're going to go this way. And so it was it's a little bit of a scramble at the same time. Just sitting here, it's like, no, it's all good, Sheila. Like, you will just listen to me and we'll go this direction. So here we are. The message is fulfilling our role in the kingdom. And I was kind of thinking about that because initially I thought about it would be about obedience. You know, we need to listen to God. And we need to just, you know, because the Christian life, it is hard. It's a hard walk a lot of times. I mean, the things that we go through, the pain, because really, you know, we really are foreigners and aliens in this world. This is not our home, you know. Heaven is our home with Jesus. But while we're here, it's like, you know, God has given to us the Holy Spirit. And really, our life here, it's hard, but in a way, it's actually very easy. If we're obedient to God and listening to Him and just doing as He says, the walk is easier. I used to look at when they talk about the narrow road, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so confining. It's like, it just makes me feel like that's hard to stay on the narrow road. But I do running and stuff like that, and in places where the road gets very narrow, it actually is a little bit easier because you know exactly where you're supposed to go. Like, there is no question, should I go to the outside? Should I go here? Should I go? It is, your focus. The narrow road helps you to stay more focused, and it keeps you from getting distracted by all the little other things that are kind of like around you. So I was kind of thinking like, oh, is it going to be this way? But the Lord was saying it's like in our walk with Him, it's about obedience, but more in the purpose of what our role is in the kingdom. Our walk with Him, it needs to be obedient so that we can hear what He's saying to us. And everybody in the kingdom has a role. Like, for me, I may be up here and I'm downstairs with the kiddos. That's one of my roles. But a lot of us here at church, we all have roles. We lead worship, women's ministries, hospitality, the booth, you know, all these things that happen. Ushers, people greeting at the door. I mean, those things. And those are more like visible things. But there are people who, you know, are elders, a council, people who are there just behind the scenes also doing those things. But those roles are being fulfilled because people are being obedient. And it's one of those things that, you know, if you're walking with the Lord in obedience in your life, it is easier to hear when God brings to you something that He wants you to do. It's not always easy to obey, hence, fine. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, I knew before Darren and Stacy asked me, you know, to speak, I already kind of knew that it was coming. Lynn will tell you that too, because it's like the Lord gave her a message, and then she knew what she was supposed to do with it. And all of the time, you know, when He was kind of telling me this, it's like I knew that there isn't really, you can say no, but really it's like you're choosing to be disobedient. And so it is. It's about being obedient, even when it's uncomfortable. And so my challenge in this was just about, like, what are our roles, you know? And do you know what your role is? Do you know what you're called to do? Sometimes we call it most of them I say called. Are you called to do that? But also it's we can also look at it as a role. Or what is it that God is putting on you in your life to do in ministry, in outreach, even just with your neighbors that are living, like, on your street, the ones that are not saved, or, you know, the friends of some of the of your kids that are not saved. So I was, you know, thinking about that and just thinking about our roles in the kingdom. And then I started to wonder, like, do we all know our roles? But do we believe that we are actually playing a vital part in the body? Do we actually believe that God has something very special and vital for you to do? Because sometimes I think we think, oh, I'm just doing this thing and it doesn't make that big of a difference. But it's really, truly amazing if we look at it in that tiny little, what we are doing, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. But if you look at it from God's point of view, it makes a huge difference. We look at a lot of times life and, you know, from down here, it's like looking at, you know, a tapestry. If you look at a cross stitch or something like that, it just looks like a big, gigantic mess. And you're like, how is this ever going to even look like anything? But God's perspective is from above the tapestry. It's above the cross stitch. And He can see how all these things are all related and how all of our little jobs work together to make a big, gigantic, beautiful picture. And it was in that, you know, I did start to wonder if we, all of us are realizing what that vital part is. Are we all doing our vital part? Are we all playing our role, what we're supposed to do, what we're called to do? And as I started thinking about that, the Lord brought to me 1 Corinthians 12 through 27. You can look it up in your Bible if you have it, or open up your app. But I will read it to you. It's kind of long, and I was kind of thinking about, like, just should I cut that? Should I just, you know, chop it up a little bit? But I really felt like the Lord said, no, the whole thing is important. So it's 1 Corinthians 12 through 27. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form just one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So that just really got me thinking. I was thinking, is Paul just being, you know, just like trying to find some kind of like, you know, funny little metaphor or whatever? So I started looking at the body, you know, how it's compromised and what it's made of, and I found some just interesting little facts. You know, 206 bones. Some of you that are in the medical industry, I mean, you all know, it's like you know a lot of these things. But so there's 206 bones in the body. There are 650 to 840 skeletal muscles in your body. And we're not counting any of your smooth muscles. There are smooth muscles, and they number in the billions. And they're like at this, I think they're like at a cellular level. And then you have one really important muscle, which would be your heart. Your heart is the hardest working muscle in your body. It every day pumps out 2,500 gallons of blood throughout your body every single day. I mean, to me, I was like, oh my gosh, that's like amazing. And your heart has the ability to beat over 3 billion times in a lifetime. So if you lived very, very long, you know, to, I don't know, like, how old are you, Jim? 85. My neighbor Jim's over there. 3 billion times. That's a lot. And then I was reading about eye muscles, you know. 1 hour of reading a book, your eyes make nearly 10,000 coordinated movements. So hence, after an hour of reading, sometimes your eyes feel a little tired because they've done a lot of work. And then your lips. I was reading about your lips. Your lips are not just for smiling, you know, or kissing. That's kind of what we normally look at our lips, you know, about. But lips actually have a very important function. If you want to eat, you want to drink water, it would be very hard to do this without your lips. I saw a video. I didn't want to put it on there because it had a lot of just different language that I wasn't going to share with you. But I thought, like, you know, we could try it out. Okay, so try to talk to your neighbor and go, hey, how you doing? Try to do this without moving your lips. It doesn't, you know, you pronounce sounds, or you can't do it at the lips. Now, let's pretend like I'm going to drink some water, okay? No, I'm not doing it, Darren. But you try to do it with it. Nothing will stay inside. If you take some crackers, you can try this at home. Just try to eat the crackers. If you don't have lips, so it's a big mess. You need your lips. We really need them. So anyway, I didn't think about this. I didn't even realize this. So maybe this is the only thing that God is wanting us to know. Lips are very important. So check. So, you know, but it's one of those things. You don't ever think about your lips, you know, and we don't even think about most of our, like, body parts until what? You lose one, right? Or your health is, like, has sustained a blow, or your immune system is down and you're sick. Like, you know, that's when we really appreciate, oh my gosh, like, you know, your health, the ability for something to work. And so that was something that I was thinking. It's like, wow, yeah, we really don't appreciate, you know, what a part of our body means to us until we lose it. And, you know, I think about, you know, our body too. It's like when Darren is not here, it's like, oh, yes, that's right. See, I appreciate him so much more now because I'm, just send me downstairs. Veggie, I had threatened this, just so you know. I told him, I go, I'm just going to show a VeggieTale and pass out goldfish. I mean, how hard can it be, right? You know, and he goes, whatever you want, Sheila. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I know he's going to be listening to this, and he would not like to hear VeggieTale, I'm pretty sure. But maybe next time, see if he asks me back, I might do it. Then that will seal my fate for, you know, for years to come. We won't have to worry about me. So I was thinking about this. So also walking, if many of you that are walkers and stuff, if you are walking, you actually require the use of about 200 of your muscles just to be able to walk. Just the raising of your foot, like so, requires about 40 or so muscles. 40 muscles, all having to work together in unison for one movement. And I was thinking about that, going like, wow, Lord, like, if I picked up 40 people, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like, let's say you, all of you here on this side, and all of you here on this side, all of you having to work together in unison to make one movement. Think about that. I mean, you all have to be, you know, knowing exactly what the other person's going to do, turning, just doing that. And I thought, that's just completely impossible. I mean, like, how would that even work? I mean, we see that in the military service. I mean, people, you, but think about how much training. I mean, it's a ton of training for that to have to happen. And there's, you know, I don't know. To me, it just seems like an impossible thing. And when I was praying about it and just telling the Lord, it's like, I don't see how that could work. The Lord said, what about verse 12? And he just reminded me about it. And it says, let's see, is it 12? No, it's verse 13. So verse 13 says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So even though it seems like a very impossible thing, how can you all work together as one? You all together as one. God gives us the Holy Spirit. It is the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit in every single person. And that's what makes it possible. That is why all the impossible things are always possible with God, because he puts the Holy Spirit inside of us. So we do behave as one. We can function as one. If you think about all the different personalities that we have just in this room, I mean, we have older people and younger people. We've got people, you know, that have to be super, super intelligent in all the things and detailed with things. People who are the big picture people, people who do hard labor, white collar, blue collar. I mean, I just think about that, and it's just like, it's so many different people, and yet all together we are one. We are one body. And which made me think about, like, okay, so that's, you know, the body here. Dallas Four Square Church, we all do need to behave as one. And I think we actually do that fairly well. I mean, I'm always amazed to be able to watch, because it's like, it's something like, you know, yeah, when Darren leaves, everything doesn't fall apart. Darren himself would tell you, it's like, this church is not about him, you know. This church is not about me and the stuff that I do downstairs with the kids. It's not about Kirk. It's not about, you know, Mike and Josh in the back. It's not about even Larry. It's not about Larry. it's all of us, you know, or Lynn with women's ministries. It's like, you know, Luana with hospitality. It's not about any one given person. All of us, each together, serve a function and a purpose. It's all, though, about Jesus. He's the one that pulls all of us together, and he is the one that inspires and, you know, will tell us exactly what we need to do. But each one of us has a role in that, and each one of us has a vital role to play in that. And as I was thinking about it, you know, so it's Dallas Four Square Church, God was really imparting on me that it's not just Dallas Four Square Church. In our town, I think we do a pretty good job of all of our churches actually working together. I mean, we have a weekday of the Bible. There's not too many cities and towns that are able to have a weekday of the Bible where all of our elementary school kids can go and they can learn about Jesus. I mean, during school time, they're taken off of the school grounds and able to go. And that's the ministerial association, like working all together, pastors working together, making sure that that's coordinated. And I love that it's not competitive. You know, I love when I'm talking to people from, you know, Grace or EBC, any church in town, I don't feel competitive with them, especially a youth group. You know, I talk to, you know, Kelsey and Nate from EBC, and we're talking about youth group. We don't care where the kids go, as long as they're going somewhere, as long as they're learning about Jesus. And I love that, because that is really what it's supposed to be about. We aren't supposed to be competitive with each other, because if we are trying to walk, then Dallas Foursquare Church with EBC, with Grace, with the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, all those churches together form a bigger muscle. And then when we look at that in terms of Polk County, our county, and Marion County, Clackamas, and we put all of those counties together, they make up an even bigger part of the body. And if we go throughout the entire United States, and then we add all the different just Christians and bodies of churches all over the world, that is what makes up the entire body of Christ. Really, it's, so this is, I could do my little, all who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. It's really that. And that's, God has been just adamant with me about it. It's like, it's all about all of you together, because all of you together, you move the kingdom forward. When one of us is not able to function well, all of us suffer. It talks about that too in here. It's every part suffers with it. One part suffers, every part suffers. When one part rejoices, all the parts rejoice. I see that so much in here too. It's like, when one of us is suffering, truly we all suffer. We suffer with each other. And that's beautiful. And that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. When I was thinking about this too, I was looking at this and thinking how backwards that is. Because, when you're out in the world, when someone is suffering, people sometimes rejoice. They're happy. And sometimes within our own nature too. Sometimes it's like, when something bad happens to someone who you don't like, you're kind of like, At the same time, you feel that conviction because the Lord is just like, hey, it's like, you're not supposed to rejoice when other people are. But, when it's someone you don't like, it's like, But in here, I find it's like when one of us is suffering and we suffer a loss, truly, we're all suffering together. We pray for each other. And I find that to be really, that's number one. A lot of when my mom had been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer back in October, it was a pretty hard blow. And, the first thing, it's like, well, what can we do for you? And it really, I said, just pray. And it's funny because I say, just pray. And that too, God has just been like, it's like a Denozo. Some of you watch NCIS, a little Denozo on the back of the head. I was like, what? Just pray. No, it's pray, really, I mean, prayer really is number one. It's the number one thing. We're all used to being able to get in there with our hands and do something. But prayer is number one. When I look at everything that happened with my mom, so the first thing I asked her was just pray. Just pray, pray for healing. But number one, above that even, pray for her salvation, because my mom wasn't saved. She didn't know the Lord. It was kind of unfortunate. She grew up in a family. My grandparents, they loved the Lord. They went to church. It was great for a long time. And then my grandpa was told by the doctor that if my grandma were to have one more baby, she would die in childbirth. And my grandpa decided he was not going to risk that. Unfortunately, the priest had told him that, well, you need to trust God and just keep on going. And he was not willing to do that. He did not want to have his children not have their mom. He did not want to be without his wife. And so they were kind of ostracized. They were not allowed to be a part of the body anymore. My grandparents continued to love the Lord. They knew church, this is church. And these are men, and that's fine. This is how they feel led. But we feel led this way. And that didn't interfere with their relationship with the Lord. They continued to love the Lord. I remember so many times of them just, we're Dutch. So they refer to him as the Lieve Heer, which just is Dutch for the loving Mister or Master Father. That, that's how it's translated. And they had a dynamic relationship with the Lord. And I would watch them pray, and I watched them live their life out in front of me in faith. But my mom, unfortunately, did not have that. My mom really took it to heart. And for her, church equals Jesus, equals God, equals, legalism. I don't want that. And so she really was very much against it. And it's unfortunate because it really set her up, for a life of I can't really even imagine it. I cannot imagine my life without Jesus. I just can't. So for her, and it was hard, you know, when you don't have that hope, when you don't have hope that God always has his best for you, and he's going to work it out. Whatever the situation is, he's with you, and he's not leaving you, and you're never by yourself. So my mom lived, and I gave her the gospel message 4 different times. I'm like, Mom, it's Jesus, and there's only one way to God, and there's many ways to God. So she kind of played around with science of mind stuff and all those things, and it wasn't, you know, even when she got diagnosed, she was still kind of holding on to that. I asked for prayer, and we started praying and praying and praying for her, and slowly little things changed. For a long time, I had been telling her, like, whenever something good would happen, I would tell her, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, you know, and she just would listen. If something good would happen, I'm all, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Somewhere along the line, she started saying, thank you, Jesus. Something good happened. Thank you, Jesus. Just that small thing. And I was like, oh, I'm all bored. Oh. You know, he's just like, just keep it up. You know, I'm like, okay. So I would, you know, and just little by little, thank you, Jesus, this would come out. We were going through her room, and she had a lot of science of mind books. I mean, tons of them. And we were just cleaning some things up, and I'm like, oh, my mom, do you want to keep this? Do you want to keep this? And she looked at it, and she just said, no. And I was like, oh, I was a little bit stunned, because she always, I mean, those were the books for her that were just super important. And she said, no, I don't need them anymore. And I was, again, you know, just, wow, okay. I'm like, wow, thank you, Jesus. Got rid of all the books, and we continued on. And then she ended up having seizures, had to go to the hospital, and ended up having to go to Dallas Retirement Village, the health center. Which is another interesting thing. Dallas Retirement Village, my parents did not have hardly any money. And it was the one place, it was my number one choice for her to go to the retirement village. It's a Christian, you know, place. You can see all the different Bible scriptures. And just the way that they are with people, it is with kindness. And the caretakers there, a lot of them are Christians, you know, and they minister, you know, to all of the patients there. And they love them. And it feels more like family. It does not, when you go, if you ever go to DRV, to the health center, Larry knows, it's more like you get to go visit, hang out with your family. And it was my number one place. But it is hugely expensive. And, you know, we were talking about where she's going to go with the doctors and stuff like that, and I was just kind of resigned that it was going to be, you know, somewhere else, maybe in Salem. And sure enough, it's like everything came down. Oh, she's going to Dallas Retirement Village Health Center, 5 minutes from my house. She got moved there. We were able to make it homey for her. Because all along she'd wanted to go home. I just want to go home. I just want to go home. But and unfortunately, I could not give that to her. So she went to the retirement village. And she loved it there. I mean, she had all her pictures. And people were taking care of her and just loving on her. And it was peaceful. My mom, like some of you know, it's like my mom had a hard life. My father and my brother are both alcoholics. And my dad's pretty loud. I love my dad, but my dad is not very functional in that way. But she got to go to the DRV, and it was quiet, and it was beautiful, and it was peaceful. But I don't know how if she would have gotten there had all of you not been praying for her and just, you know, for God to continue to move, you know, for the hand of God to continue to move and minister to her who was so lost. Honestly, I mean, I'll be totally honest. I looked at my mom, and I was like, she's never going to accept Jesus. I mean, you know, I've been a Christian for like 20 years, and I have been talking, and, you know, my husband Gary and the kids, it's like, you know, oh, you know, Jesus, and she was, you know, that's all nice for you. That's all nice for you, but that's not my thing. And so we just continued to go, and she's at the DRV, and people are ministering to her and loving her. She had lots of visits, you know, from Pat, my mother-in-law, and my, you know, brother came, and it was just a really beautiful thing. And March, you know, 22nd, my sister-in-law called because she, my sister-in-law, not my brother's wife, his sister. This lady, she's on fire. I mean, she's a Christian, loves the Lord, but she is one of those direct ones. If I need something done, I will call Lizette. I was talking to her. She goes, well, your mom is fine. It's, you know, she's saved. I said, no, Lizette, She's not saved. What? So Lizette started talking to my mom. Every day she'd call, talk to my mom at the DRV. And on March the 22nd, I picked up the phone. Sure, Lizette, you can talk to my mom. Here she is. She'd be talking, and all of a sudden, I heard my mom start saying the prayer. And I kind of thought I was hallucinating. Like, what? What's going on? And sure enough, my mom, you know, Lizette led my mom to the Lord. And, you know, but still in my mind, it was kind of foggy. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, I don't know, you know, and so hung up. And she told me, she was like, Sheila, it's all good, it's all good, you don't have to worry about it. You know, and I'm like, okay, you know. Continued to move along. And then March 31st came along. You know, we were moving. My mom had started to lose function. She wasn't able to eat on her own anymore. She wasn't able to swallow. And very, you know, slowly it started. Then all of a sudden on March 31st, I just visited with her, and it was a beautiful day. My mom loved summer. It was one of her favorite holidays. I mean, not holidays, but like favorite seasons. I mean, and if there was sun out, she was outside, and she loved this. And I was just telling her, you know, I was getting ready to go. I was visiting with her, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, Mom. I said, and she wasn't conscious at this point. I mean, I think she could hear, but, you know, the response, they're able to respond to people wasn't there. And I just told her, I'm like, Mom, it is such a beautiful day outside. There's flowers, and the sun is shining, and it's just amazing. Her window was open, and there was like a really, like a little summer breeze coming past, you know, so she could feel that on her skin. And I just, you know, I stroked her hair, and I told her, I'm like, I love you. I will see you tomorrow. You know, it's like, it's fabulous. You would love these flowers. I mean, they just smell so good. So I will see you tomorrow. You know, I love you, Mom. And I kissed her, and I walked out. And 2 hours later, she was with the Lord. And we will have our tomorrow. It's just that our tomorrow is going to be up there. But I look at that, and I think, you know, what if people didn't pray? What if we didn't have people at the retirement village who are Christians, who are loving on her, taking care of people, visiting, and just showing her the love of Jesus? Because truly we are. We're the hands and feet. If we don't, God lays it on our head, you know, pray, do it. You know, when you say, I will pray for you, sometimes just stop and pray. Other times, but don't ever like go, yeah, I'll do it. And then we don't do it. Because every single one of those prayers, I firmly believe that the bowl, you know, they talk about heaven having this bowl and all the prayers come in. I really do think that the bowl began to become so overflowing with prayers and just love, you know, that's what did it. It's, you know, never discount prayer, number one. Because my mom, it's like, I don't know where she'd be at. I don't know how I would be. Because honestly, it's like, if she wasn't saved, I think I would be a little bit of a mess right now. I don't think I would be able to sit here and even do this because I think I would be a mess. And that's something that, you know, it's dear. It's amazing. It's important. It's vital. So even if your part is to pray, that is an amazing part. If you are not able to do anything else other than just, I'm going to pray for people, you do that because it's important. It matters. The kingdom moves when we all do our part. Even if that part is just prayer, prayer is number one. And just part of this thing, too, is that so my mom passed away on March 31st, and the next day Brittany and I went and we picked up all of her things and we're packing everything up. And I was still kind of fretting, you know. But I know you all were still praying because a lot of you knew, like day of, it's like my mom has passed away. I just keep praying for our family, you know. And I went April the 1st with Brittany and picking things up. And in my mind, I was like, Lord, I don't know. Like, did that take? You know, she had tumors in her brain, you know, because you do that. You do that doubting thing sometimes, like, I don't know. I'm like, oh, I don't know, Lord. Like, I don't know if they even took. Like, she had tumors. Maybe it was this. Maybe she was just, maybe because Lizette is so forceful, because she was very forceful. Maybe it's that, like. And as I got in the elevator, you know, it's like they have a lady playing piano at the DRV because she plays for people and they, you know, can sing along and stuff. Pulled the suitcase in and waited for the elevator door to start closing. And it was taking a little bit longer And all of a sudden, you know, she had started playing the piano, and the song that she started to play right before the doors closed was "Jesus Paid It All." And I almost completely lost it because I was like, even that, God has us. That, because I was worried about it, and I was thinking, I don't know, but God is so good. You need this baby. Jesus paid it all. She's good. She's with me. You don't have to worry about her anymore. And I, you know, my heart, like, I mean, it kind of broke at the same time. It's that amazing thing, you know, when you know how that God is right here, and he is. He's telling you, it's like, it's all good. You don't have to worry. And so, yep, got in the elevator, and we went, and I was just like, and I did, I told Brittany, I'm like, I was just praying about this, and this is what happened. She's like, oh my gosh, Mom, and we both were kind of crying a little bit there. And then I put everything in the car, and I just sat behind the wheel, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for even in this time. But even in that, it's like, all of you were praying, you know, because the lady behind the piano, when everyone prays, she picks the song that she's supposed to pick so that she plays it and so that I get this. And I find it's amazing to me because it is. All these parts are all working together. And it's, you know, for me, and I could fret about, like, Lizette. Lizette is the one that led my mom to the Lord. No, that was supposed to be me. Like, Lord, I did it 4 times. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then what? Lizette does it 1 time, and, you know. But it's like, at the same time, God is like, you don't know why I picked her. And so we have to trust him, you know. And I don't fret about it. At first I was all, you know. But then Lizette, in her own life, perhaps she needed that victory, and God is using that victory and that encouragement to move her on to the next thing. And so when I look at it in that, you know, in this big global context, I don't worry about it. It's like, I don't, you know, and in a way it's like, I don't care who did it, you know, as long as somebody, and she accepted, and she's with Jesus. And, you know, Mother's Day, you know, it's a little bit of a funny thing. You know, a lot of you have lost moms, you know, and you don't have your moms. But when moms, you know, are with Jesus, for me, Mother's Day was amazing because I love her, but this for her, I was like, you know, I had a cup of coffee. We stopped at Dutch Bros. My mom loved Kickers. Even near the end, she was still drinking the Kickers. So on our way out of town, we got a Kicker, and I drank the Kicker, and I was just like, and I thought about it, and I was like, Mom, I'm like, best Mother's Day ever for you, you know, and really for me too, because she was with Jesus. Truly, you know, best Mother's Day ever. And I was thankful for that. I'm thankful too for just all of you, because you all ministered to me. I mean, you know, making meals and flowers and cards and a basket full of just all these wonderful things, you know, and just loving, even just words of encouragement. Words are important. But some of you, just being able to give me that look of understanding, just like, I get it, you know? It's like, I'm with you. You know, I'm praying, just praying for me. I'm so appreciative of that because I was loved well. People, like, you know, if I went to the doctor's office, I had to tell them, oh, yeah, we have history of breast cancer. And like, okay, oh, are you okay? I'm like, your mom just passed away. Like, are you okay? I am so good. And they're like, what? I'm like, I have an amazing church family. I'm like, people have prayed for me, have loved me. I'm loved well. But loving, being loved well only happens in the context when every single one of us do what we're supposed to do, what God puts on our hearts to do. Sometimes they're hard things, sometimes they're easy things. I mean, like for me, downstairs, woo! You know, it's super easy. I mean, I can, you know, go downstairs and love on kids. I mean, eyes closed. You can, don't tie my hands because I do have to, you know, hold on, kids. And Jim would tell you I can't talk without my hands because you can see that they're all over the place, you know, flying. But truly, like the kingdom is moved. My mom, me, every single one of you. It's like the kingdom moves with great force when each one of us is doing what God is calling us to do. When we're all obedient to what he wants us to do. Like I said, sometimes it's easy things and sometimes it's hard things. The important thing in it is to be obedient to what he's calling you to do. And if you're not quite sure but what that is, you know, I would say it's like, spend some time. Get into the quiet space with him and just ask him, what do you want me to do? And then say nothing. And which is hard. You remember me, I was going to tell you before we started, and I even told Andrea, I said, I can't talk for 40 minutes. And she was probably like chuckling. Oh my gosh, like Gary Beck, my husband, he's just like, no problem. It's a good thing Darren's not giving you 4 hours because, you know, we could be here all day. It's Memorial Day weekend, Sheila. Cut it short, you know. But it is. Yes, he's already like this. He's all, pay attention. So I just find it's like everything works really, really good when we're all working together. My mom's passing away could have been a major tragedy. I mean, in my life, you know, more importantly for her, I mean, to not be saved, that's a tragedy. It's a massive loss. But we all did what we were supposed to do, what we were called to do, and we pushed forward. And the kingdom of God moved forward, you know, like I said, with the leg muscles, moved forward with great force. And I wonder, it's like just, you know, I get excited when I can feel like the Lord is moving. When he asks me to do something like that makes me nervous, like even here, you know, this, I'm like, but I get excited because, you know, we don't serve a tame God. He's not tame. You know, Aslan, the whole Aslan comparative, you know, with the Chronicles of Narnia. He's not a tame lion. I mean, he moves forward, and he instructs all of us what to do. So the Christian life is hard at times, but it's also very easy when we are obedient to him in our life, in our walk. That doesn't mean perfect. I love what Kirk said. It's like, you know, we fall and we get so far off the path sometimes. But God is gracious to us and always yearning. Come. And he doesn't make it hard for us. You know, when we ask for forgiveness, does he sit there and do 20 questions? I sometimes do 20 questions. Well, you know, just gotta make sure. He doesn't do 20 questions. It's very easy for him. And he forgets about it from east to west. That amazes me because I'm not that good. I will never be that good until I see him. But it's that he does. He separates it from east to west. So if you've gotten off the track, it's okay. Just get back up and get back on the track. Ask for forgiveness, repent, and move forward. Because the kingdom needs each of you to do your job. Me, all of us. We all need to do what we need to do to move the kingdom forward. And that's pretty much it. That was what I was going a different way with it, but this is the way that this is, and for whatever reason, you know, but I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for each one of you. I'm thankful for all of you for all that you do in serving and ministering, you know, not just here within this body, but outside of these church doors to your neighbors and relatives and friends and family, everybody that you meet, because everyone that you meet, you never leave them where you find them. The kid at the drive-thru window, when we have good words, we send them in this direction. When we have negative words and we're kind of meanish to them because, you know, like, what are they going to do? They go in this direction. It is either in a way towards God, or it's in a way away from God. And you know, so every time that you go through your day, think about where are we leading people? Which direction are we sending people? You know, which direction does God want us to go in? Always towards him and moving the kingdom forward in an effort to save everyone. You know, God doesn't want anyone to perish, not a single one, not my mom, and not any one of the people, you know, that you know that isn't saved, that doesn't know Jesus. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that when we come here, it is never about any one particular person. I thank you that it is about you 100%, all of the time. I thank you, Lord, that these words, they're from you. I thank you, Lord, because you are in it all. I thank you that you tell each one of us what to do. You inspire us, and you give us the ability to do what you ask us to do. Help us to be obedient to what your calling is on our life. Help us to be able to fulfill the role in the kingdom, whatever that would be, and however that looks. Help us always to be obedient to you in that. Help us to keep on keeping on, to be walking in your light, to be loving of you, and to be lovers of you to others, that when people see us, they just know, Lord, that you are shining and working through us, and that they will know that they want some of that too. And I just thank you for who you are. You're an amazing God. We are thankful because we get to serve. It is an honor to serve you. And we just thank you for inspiring and for loving us. Help us this week to go forward and to do all that you want us to do. Help us to be able to stay focused in on you and to just walk in your joy and your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.